to episode 236 of the 8-Bit Geek. If this is your first time listening, 8-Bit is a lot like the start of a football season. You know, you get really excited for your favorite team. Week one is starting and you get all your snacks out. People are coming over. It's going to be a great time. Then all of a sudden, no one shows up at the house. Your team loses and you got a sudden case of diarrhea. I'm Jeremy. With me are two men who once got caught and stuck in a football stadium bathroom for the entire game.
That's a there's really big bathrooms. How do you get stuck in one of those?
Yeah, and what do you mean by stuck?
I mean that's it's your story,
like,
guys.
You got stuck because, like, in your universe of this happening to us,
the Jerverse,
like, we were stuck pooing the whole time.
It's not my story to tell.
For the price you pay for football tickets, the last place I'd want to be stuck in is the bathroom.
Yeah, or is it like the door got stuck?
I mean, it probably was a number of things. You both had to poo. You both were holding hands underneath the toilet. The doors got stuck.
Uh-huh.
Started making out in there. I don't know.
Making out with who?
With each other.
What?
With who?
We've never been in with a game with each other.
Yeah, I mean, he's in Texas and I'm in Kansas City.
Yeah, yes. Fuck,
it would have to be a Cowboys versus Chiefs game.
Yeah. And that's just never going
to
happen.
Why have we gone to this logical place with a fictional story?
We're just shooting every plot hole down yours.
Yeah, we're just telling you that this isn't your best work. You need to try harder next week, please.
I think you should try harder next week.
Make it a little more believable. Like, me at a sports game, get the fuck out.
Right? Unless the company's paying for it and they have free beer.
Excuse me.
Right. Free liquor.
Hey, motherfucker. Right. He goes to football games all the time.
Who?
Prove it.
You.
Who? Me.
You've gone to FC Dallas many times.
Oh, now we're using the soccer vernacular.
Haven't been to an FC Dallas game
ever since you got stuck in the
bathroom. Since he blew that guy in a bathroom.
Since you got stuck in the bathroom.
Didn't get stuck in the bathroom. Thank you.
If you like our band,
slipped and fell.
Oh, now okay. Now tell the story. Now go
See,
into
the
it.
The glory hole took him to Narnia. He was like, you just can't stop after one.
Yeah, you got to go number two.
Never mind. I'll tell you when you get older.
Please don't. I don't need to know more tales about your 20s.
Yeah.
If you like what we're doing, you like our banter, then you can always subscribe to us, listen to us on these following platforms. First of all, Audioboom. They are our sponsor. They provide our bandwidth, so we thank them so much for that. You can check us out there. You can also find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. Anywhere that there's a podcast, we will be. You can also follow us on social media at the 8-Bit Geek, and of course, every Monday night right here on Twitch, where we record live, and you can interact with us in the chat. It's great fun. If you can't make it to a live show and you still want to connect with us, you can still do that on Discord. We have a great community of over 200 people that you can talk to every day. Everybody is very involved. We've got some really cool stuff going on over there. Right now we have a weight loss challenge where we're giving away some cool stuff. Then the whole community is involved. And it's a great time. And if you're looking for friends, if you're looking for somebody to play games with, come on over to the Discord. All the information is on the website at www.the8bitgeek.com. And if you're on Twitch right now, look below. There's a link as well. You can even find there's a watching party in there. And so all the guys get together, and girls, and they get into a channel and they laugh about the show. They have fun with the show. It's led by a couple of our fearless admins over there. Wait, they're not even admins. Never mind. There's Caleb. Caleb is over there and Ed is over there.
Yeah, I'm looking right now, though. And
they're
like
playing
PUBG. They're in the
PUBG
chat.
Oh, well,
so
fuck
they can go
them.
Fuck themselves.
How dare they on a Monday night?
Yeah,
okay, well, I have my now I have my Patreon rant for Ed this week.
Mm-hmm.
If you like what you're listening to, you can always check out some other shows. And if you don't like this show, there's some other shows. There's 8-Bit Saga, Divas Drop Kicks and Dives, Brainberry Tarts, and Garbage Day. You can go support them. It's great fun.
Yeah. Can I make a quick announcement about Saga?
Of course, yeah.
Do it, man. Do it.
Okay, it was supposed to be back this week, but my dumbass self left my hard drive at work over the weekend, so I didn't get to work on Saga. And then I wasn't at work today, and I won't be at work tomorrow. So,
how big are those audio files? How big are those audio files?
gigs. We record for 6 hours, man.
I know.
Like,
no, I'm just asking from a is there any way that you could use a cloud service instead?
Like every session requires about 14 gigs.
Never mind.
Yeah.
That'd take a long time to upload.
Yeah.
Now, can you show up to work and be like, oh, I need my hard drive. Never mind. I'm sick. Cough.
Maybe, but also that would be pretty suspicious. But
dick move.
Basically. Why don't you go in right now after we're done recording and snatch it and then just go home?
Use your Nike keys. Just
be like, hey, yo, I'm sick of shit.
I was stuck in the bathroom. Ever have that happen to you?
It's not a terrible idea, but
go in there like fucking old Ben Kenobi, like just big old robe over your head and just be like, don't talk to me, don't touch me, I'm sick. And then on your way out, just let out a huge sneeze, like open mouth, like just nothing.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna sneeze a couple times on tonight's show. So if everyone is ready for that disgusting audio,
turn away.
They're used to it with me.
That's true.
Fuck. Fucking
clear your throat on the Mike Jones over here.
Yeah,
that guy
was
1902. Thank you for the follow. Sorry, that just came in.
Fuck, man. Sorry. You ain't gotta outs me up on this piece.
Like that. That's what you sound like.
Well, hopefully that's all over with. Today I took my last horse pill for this Z-Pack shit, so.
Like that.
It's more like this.
God damn it.
Oh, for that one?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about your sneezes.
What the fuck is he like? The like Winnie the Pooh?
Oh, I hope I get some money. If you like what we're doing and you want to support us even more, there's another way. We give away this show for free every week. We do it and we love it and it's fine. But if you'd like to give more and help the cause, you can over at Patreon. We don't ask for a lot, but if you want to give a lot, we also take that as well. All your money goes right back. All your money goes right back into the show. And we can't thank you enough for all the Patreon members who are on that list. We read it out once a month. And so you can become a part of that community as well, where you get extra content. You get the pre-show, the post-show, and some extra content. We just released the Kevisode for Saga, and we plan on doing some extra content for 8-Bit Horror Fest and all that good stuff. Surprise, by the way, I just mentioned that. Speaking of 8-Bit Horror Fest, Doug, take it away!
Oh, man. That's coming up really fucking soon. I cannot wait. 8-Bit Horror Fest, if you've been listening to the show, you know what we're talking about. If you're new to the show, this is what it is. Every October, we, as a podcast, watch a couple of scary movies, and then we talk about them. And we're doing that again this year, but we've got more shows involved helping us out. We've got some guest shows like Nerd Foo and Bri-Fi Podcast. We've also got some of our own shows like Triple D and Brainberry that'll be also doing some stuff this year for us. This year's theme is Origins. You can see the shirt design next to me if you're watching the stream, that little creature, the swamp thing sort of creature.
No, design. Man, that's the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Right. I was going to say that, and then I was like, I don't want to be wrong. Fuck it. That's our shirt this year. The theme is Origins, where we're watching the first kind of kickoff movies for certain franchises, like Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street, stuff like that. So that starts October 1st, goes through the end of the month. Shirts will be available through October 31st, and then they're gone forever. So if you're going to get one, get one now. And they're on sale. So do it at 8bitgeek.threadless.com. Boom!
Boom.
Bam!
Also, other people are contributing. We Talk Games and Movie Films with Bill and Steve.
Hey, I didn't want to name everyone, Kev.
There's only two more. And then possibly our good friends Windress and Paul might be contributing as well.
Well, they said that before.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Well, you're sending them your old microphone.
Yeah, so they're going to have some boss equipment to record on. Yeah. We always love having them on. We had Windress on last year for 13 Ghosts. And for, what was it? What was the other one we had her on for? I don't know, but she's awesome. And we love them both. And it's cool. This is our favorite time of the year. Yes, it was Young Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Frankenstein. But yeah, it's just our favorite time of the year, especially me and Doug's, because we love horror movies. And to be able to talk about them for a whole month is pretty magical. So yeah,
Get the fuck out of here, Kev.
What?
Really?
I mean, I'm the only one here that went to go see it this weekend.
You're going to fucking just leave me out of not being excited about this shit? get the
I think
fuck
you're more excited about the party than you are actually watching the movies,
dude.
Though, because
I
you...
fucking love these yeah. are the movies that I love. Like these are the movies that I grew up on, not the fucking porn killing and the fucking
porn
new school
killing?
Shit.
What movie have we made you watch ever in the 2 years that we've done this? Has been like a torture porn, like that sort of movie.
No, I'm just
yeah,
saying. In
I can show
general.
You some torture porn if you want.
No, I'm saying in general. Like that new school kind of shit that's been finally phased out is what I wasn't into for all those years. But the iconic fucking horror film, I like these ones. These ones I can get down with. Like I'm excited. Like I want to go see it because of the fact that for that reason, I don't like
that movie will make your butthole spray. I'm just gonna say, especially you, Jer. I've seen you how you acted with The Conjuring.
But I watched it.
You did at Doug's poor expense.
Yeah. I mean, you watched it like a little bitch.
Oh, God.
Let's play some scary video games, Doug.
All right.
No. You.
That's fine.
Why don't you play the game
I
bought you? I
ain't gonna be a little bitch like you watching The Conjuring.
Really? Because you won't even get in front of a fucking keyboard and mouse playing a scary video game because you're like, nope. Don't think so. Why don't you do that? Let's do a stream where you play a scary video game.
I'm trying to act all hard up right now.
Because you're trying to act all hard up because you know exactly that you have a fucking Achilles heel as well, okay?
Okay, so mine don't make me no little bitch.
Damn.
Then why haven't you played anything?
This I don't like scary video claws. Games. It's not my genre of games. I like Batman. And running around shooting people with guns.
Mm-hmm. Well, looks like we both little bitches.
Wow.
Oh, hey, by the way, happy birthday to...
Horrible segue.
Happy birthday to one of our fans over in Discord and 8-bit overall fanatic, Arnold Palmer.
Sweaty Arnold Palmer, please. Arnold Palmer is dead, but sweaty Arnold Palmer lives... in all of us.
Arnie Parm Parm.
Happy birthday, dude.
Oh. Okay, well, that had to happen.
Bye, Ed.
Next, we're going to go up and hit up the Misconnection section. Every week, we take real ads from the Misconnection section of Craigslist. We read them in funny voices. They are completely real. We don't edit them in any way, although we do ad-lib a little bit, but we definitely can't make this stuff up.
Boy sees girl. Boy is interested in girl. Boy awkwardly stares at girl from across the room. Boy never approaches girl. Girl leaves. Boy swears they are meant for one another. Boy turns to Craigslist for help finding girl. 8-Bit Geek steps in. Welcome to Misconnections.
Hey, is Sean around?
Oh, what's up, fellas?
Hey, Sean.
Hey,
buddy.
What's up, man?
Oh, not much.
What have you been up to?
Not much.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, what do you got for
talk.
Us? Good talk.
No, I too am sick. I think that little Ollie bastard got me sick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
He's cute, but fuck. So, since I'm sick, let's get into some of my sick shit this week, all right? Oh. This one's for a hot zombie sex role play. Trans for woman. I am so serious.
Why? Why so serious?
Yeah, why?
Let me tell you. Sex has become so boring. For a while, I was having sex at the power exchange because that was fun. I could mix things up. I could do it in public. I could have an audience. It was like putting on a show for everyone else, and I got to be the star. Unfortunately, okay. Lately, we've run into reruns, and I'm just not having fun anymore.
That's fair enough.
Let's go to the power exchange together. Let's go to the power exchange together and roleplay.
Oh.
Let's go to the power exchange together and roleplay hot zombie sex. I mean it. I know it sounds really ridiculous, but I've always loved zombies and the undead. And I've always loved sex. So I want to mix the two. Without having to actually fuck a dead person. Additionally, I've seen and am friends with some really cute zombie girls. and I could really enjoy the mix of horror, terror, shock value in others. And, you know, sex.
All right.
How's it going to be, like, terror? Are they going to fucking try to bite you while you're having sex?
Well, I think the audience is going to be in terror.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're going to be like, oh, God, why would you fuck that dead man?
Side note, how much is the Power Exchange paying you to advertise them so much? You said their name an awful lot in that paragraph.
Anyways, I'll dress up like... I'll dress up like an office professional or something like that in some clothes I don't care about and pretend to be doing some work in an office or something.
I just got a fucking visual of them sitting in an office chair like, do-do-do-do-do, just doing office work.
Oh, Barbara, please help me with these taxes. Barbara, they're coming for you, Barbara. I'm coming for you, Barbara. Oh. Come on, Kev. God damn it.
They're coming on you, Barbara. I know the quote.
It was good because it was zombies and it was sexual. God damn.
Sexual zombies.
Maybe then I'll listen to a prop radio and look shocked, act scared, peer out a mimed window or something.
You got very Edgar Allan Poe in here.
Oh, there's a window right here. Oh. That's a visual joke for our watchers. And then you batter on the door. And batter and batter and push and break in. What is batter on a door? That sounds like they're getting ready to deep fry the door.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially what I'm thinking. They're just like.
And then I let out a blood-curdling shriek, and you lunge at me and rip my clothes apart and splatter fake blood all over me. Well, use a tarp on the floor. To be polite.
Fuck. That's key. You want to go back to the Power Exchange.
And then proceed to savagely violate me, or something like that. I'm not really tied to the exact scene, but I think something that goes that way would be fun.
Jesus.
Requirements. You must be attractive. Sorry, I know an attractive zombie. Wait, okay, hold on. Sorry, I know an attractive zombie, but it's possible. Harry, what does HWP mean, Kev?
Harry World Potter.
Harry World Potter.
What does that mean?
Harry when possible.
But he's looking for a female, though. I mean, I guess you could be Harry.
Oh, humping woman power exchange.
Power exchange.
Wait, anyone in the chat know what HWP stands for? I don't want to Google it.
I don't want to Google it either.
Height, weight, proportional?
Ah.
No. Wait, maybe.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, that's probably it.
Let's look up Urban Dictionary.
At the very least, know how to act like a zombie. I am specifically looking for someone with zombie experience. If you've been an extra on The Walking Dead, extra points.
Wow.
In San Francisco, I don't think this is asking a lot, but be able to look like a zombie. If you're good friends with Greg Nicotero, another positive, because maybe he'll do your makeup and give us some fake blood.
Nice.
This means dressing the part and knowing how to appropriately do your makeup. Don't be shy. You're going to fuck on stage. No, sorry. You're going to be dressed like a zombie and growling and groaning and spattering fake blood and all else everywhere in public to an audience that may not even be that into it. But I bet they will be. I'm not posting pictures of me this go around for obvious reasons.
What's the obvious reason?
I shouldn't know what it is, Kev. I shouldn't have to fucking tell you. But if you mail me, you're of course welcome to a ton. I am very pretty.
Congratulations, Sean.
About me, 5'6" to 5'7". Somewhere in there. 124 pounds, I'm guessing. Yeah, because that's the pound sign. Dumb idiot. Okay. Non-smoking. Red hair, blue eyes, glasses, 32D. Bam!
He has a big penis.
Anything else to ask? I am so into this idea. I am primarily looking for a female. Males will be considered, but are not really what I'm up for. If you are, however, a zombie couple, that is acceptable. To that end, trans for male, trans for men, women, I'm really looking forward to hearing from someone. Is that a picture?
No, that's a part of the next one.
Okay. Yours truly.
Good luck reading.
John Barbara Penis.
Fuck, that was awesome.
They're going to come on you, Barbara. That's all I wanted to say originally.
All right. I guess it's my turn.
Oh, no.
Hello, boys.
Hi, Dr. Savage.
Savage do what Savage do.
What does that even mean?
Is that your new slogan?
It's on my business card.
Sure.
Well, here goes nothing. An anime roleplay and J/O? I don't know what that means. Male for male.
Jerk off?
Oh,
yes. That's it. Sounds about right. Kevin knows all this lingo.
I mean, you know, I've been around the internet.
Looking for another man, 18 to 30, to roleplay and reenact an anime sword fight. Bleach preferred, but if you have one you want, do specifically bring a DVD tape over, and if it's doable, naked. You do not have to bring your own sword. I have plenty. But if you want to bring one, that's okay, too. We will reenact an anime sword fight while naked, taking turns stroking and groping each other between sword swings. First to finish must help the other finish. Hands only, please. Serious replies only. There's a photo of me.
That's not you.
It's not why.
That looks like Tommy from the Power Rangers.
It might actually be Tommy from the Power Rangers.
Yeah. Also, hands only? Come on, Dr. Savage. We know you.
I'm taking a break from feet. Anywho, goodbye, boys.
That's a fake picture.
It's an internet photo. All right, so I'll read this next one, and then Kev, you can have the last one, okay?
Yay!
This is submitted by Ed. Oh, I forgot to say the last one was submitted by, which I don't have it pulled up, so I do apologize. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
If you submitted that, he doesn't care about you.
Oh,
it's half right.
You have to look it up. Thank you for whoever submitted you. It.
Yeah.
Snorkel said it was me.
Oh, Snorkel, that's right. Thank you, Snorkel. Snorkel from the 8-Bit Geek Discord. Okay, yeah. Here we go.
Well, I got over 400 gallons of regular gasoline willing to trade in Austin. And I'm blessed to have over 400 gallons of gasoline. I don't want money. I'm only looking to exchange up to 15 gallons for anal sex.
Oh, no.
Me giving it to you. Both men and women are welcome. But the men need to be very attractive, as that is not my preferred sex. I will wear a condom and use organic lubricant purchased from Amazon.com. There will be no filming or photos. I don't want anyone else to know either. So let's agree to keep it hush, hush. If you're interested, send pics so I know if it's worth it.
I like how you said photos.
Photos.
Yeah.
You got so really like, ugh.
Turned like a valley girl for like a hot second. Yeah. I'm Like, after these photos.
It's like no one will know who you are except for all the people with full gas tanks in Austin.
In the line to your house.
I was like, the chat, wait, what?
Wait, what? That's a deal.
Wait, what?
I'll do it.
Wait, huh?
I need some fuel.
This is just funny because that was going around. Like, we just had in Texas, like, a gas shortage or whatever because people just wanted to. I don't know. Some people were like, oh, we don't have gas. And then everyone was like, there's no gas. And then it turned into Mad Max for like a couple of days.
It did. It really did.
Fucking crazy. So that one got posted. That's just fucking funny. I want. I. You know what? There's a part of me wants to like find out if this worked. Did this guy get the butt sex he wanted for the gasoline that he has?
I want to reply to him and ask.
Well, I mean, hey, just curious.
Just wondering.
I don't.
How many gallons do you have left?
Do not want to participate. Did it work?
Asking for a friend.
But I do need gas. Just kidding.
All right, Kev, you're up.
What up, y'all?
Who's
Velvet
this?
In the house.
Who?
Velvet in the house.
Velvet, your voice is.
I'm putting a request out there this week. What? I'm sorry?
Your voice is sounding real buttery smooth. Is that a new microphone?
It is a new microphone. This is a Shure SM7B.
Damn, it makes your voice sound so sexy.
It's smooth motherfucking 7, bitch.
I like that. I don't know. For whatever reason, I can see it on my screen occasionally, the green light from the thing on my hat right here. But yours is like right in your fucking forehead. It's really
right
funny.
There, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like bleh, bleh, bleh. I know. I need to put some like tape over it. Just like stop.
You couldn't avoid it.
Stop it. Stop it.
But this one this week goes out to the woman who sent nude photos to my ad. Stop teasing me. Male for women. Hollywood. Boobville. That's what we call it on the streets. Is Boobville. By the way, if you've ever been to Hollywood and you're an insider, you know what it's called. Now, I posted a few times here, mostly to meet this rocket chick with an amazing side boob. Just one, though. Even after a good workout, I couldn't get her delicious tits off my mind. I've seen a lot of breasts, by the way. Just breast. No multi-breast, just breast. I've seen a lot of it. I'm in my 40s, and I have an internet connection. Uh-oh. Not like most people in their 40s. I also live close to several strip clubs that I'm a regular at. Now that if I wanted to see random titties, I could. But that's not the point of this post/ad. Now, a few hours after I posted, some woman with really big boobs sent me a tit shot. That's one tit right there. Keep count. Claiming hers were better. Now, granted, they were bigger, and I have met several women who always think bigger is better when it comes to tits or cock, which I've got a few cock pictures in there, too, and I'm not really happy about that. But just like I can admit, I don't have the best cock on the planet. You also got to realize the competition for the best tits in the West is going to be stiff. They're stiff because most of them are fake. Plus, seeing something in real life, even if they are side boobs, is better than a picture of some nippleless huge ones. Because what's the point? We're all looking for the nip. But the big tit queen doesn't respond when I ask to see/feel her boobs in person. Because, you know, I'm kind of blind in some ways. Like, I got to feel my way out of these things. I know where the areola is at. I just got to like round it. Never mind. I'm getting too deep into it. So out of frustration, I post another ad requesting the BTQ respond. BTQ standing for big tit queen. And not disappear like a virgin on prom night.
Kev, you're 3 for 3, man.
I know my acronyms. And who responds to the request for the busty one? Oh, Miss Green Eyes and Fakies. A woman with stunning green eyes and just about as stunning as a set of tits as you can ever ask for. And does she respond to my inquiry? Of course not. She's too busy getting free drinks at the Cabo Cantina from every lush in town with a spare 20 in his wallet and cum in his balls. Trust me, I've checked. the feeler thing. I can feel it out. So I post for old green eyes and fakie, hoping at least if she doesn't respond, then perhaps a woman who actually believes the internet can connect people is more than just pen pals. Nothing. Zilch. Zero. So I want them titties is what I'm saying. So,
that was a long ass post to talk about some tits.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm looking for my BTQ. Are you her? Shoot me back a message. Yours forever, Velvet Jones. Boobtown conversations.
there it is. Jumping right into it, man. This week, ending, I guess we can say, people are saying it saved the summer, but we're kind of officially out of the summertime film kind of time frame. But it has swooped in and made $117.2 million in its first week.
Well deserved, too. And the budget was $53 million. So, yeah, they made some money on that. There'll be a sequel.
It's the largest opening for an R-rated film ever. It broke every record in the book for fucking September, I think, for opening weekend and all that shit. It's getting a sequel.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we all knew that.
It actually is literally getting a sequel. They got to finish the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kev, what'd
you
think?
It was like the most packed I've seen my theater all weekend. It was nuts.
Why, were you there all weekend?
Well, I live across the street, so I see a lot of activity.
But how do you know it was like, that was the pack? Like, did you monitor it or did you talk to somebody?
There was no other fucking movie out there and people wanted to see.
I'm trying to gauge.
People were bringing their, like, three-year-olds to this film, which was hilarious. Every time I heard a kid cry, I laughed out loud.
There's a lot of people on Facebook asking, like, can I bring my kid to this?
Like,
yes.
Fuck no.
If you want to scar your kids for life, feel free to bring them to this movie. Yeah. The thing is, this movie was fantastic. I loved the original, and the original is definitely it's got a time frame, because if you watch it today, it's not nearly as scary as it was back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. However, this movie pulled no punches whatsoever. This was not a made-for-TV movie on ABC. They were gory. There was a lot of jump scares. There was a lot in this movie, a lot of jump scares. There was one that actually caught me off guard, which was awesome. But it was a great movie. Highly recommend it. And the kids that are in that movie are just the kind of caliber, like as the Stranger Things kids, where they're all just on their A game and they do a fantastic job. Actually, the kid from Stranger Things.
Yeah, one of them is the main character.
Yeah, he plays the main character in Stranger Things. He plays Richie, and he is my absolute favorite in that movie. Every scene he's in, he steals it. He steals the damn scene, and he's fantastic. The kids are great. Skarsgård as Pennywise is surprisingly very fucking good and very creepy. Like, he actually has Tim Curry beat as far as creepiness goes in this film. And I'm not going to spoil why, but you'll see it and you'll be like, yeah, I can totally see why. This guy was fucking creepy, and I loved every second of it.
I've watched a couple interviews with him outside of his makeup, and he's just creepy anyways.
Yeah, people were saying, like, they would have loved to see him play Joker after this, just because of his kind of the face, his face shape and the kind of...
The maniacal
way he brings his character to screen. But yeah, go see it. Pennywise was fantastic. Like I said, they pulled no punches as far as, like, this is a hard fucking R movie.
Wait, are you talking about the band or the movie now?
There's a band called Hard R.
No, Pennywise.
Go see them too afterwards.
You said Pennywise was awesome.
I want to see Pennywise. I haven't seen Pennywise in years. Don't get me started. Yeah. Ride the Spy Guy is going to pop in here and we're going to start talking about punk bands again. Yep. And bore the shit out of everyone in this room.
Yep. I've been listening to the audiobook again.
Nice.
It's 44 hours long. I think I have 40 hours left. But, like, it's crazy because, like, not much has happened.
Yeah.
It's the first part is like the stuff that happens in the book. I don't know if the new movie takes place this far back, but in 1957.
No.
With Georgie.
It's a modern take, right?
What this movie does is it kind of modernizes it because it takes place in the 80s
Approximately like 27 years before today. So that way when the sequel comes out, it'll be a modern day sequel. So
you're 90.
Seeing, yeah, you're seeing, it starts in 88 and 89. So between 88 and 89. So that means 27 years from now will be like 2018 or 2017 or whatever. So that's
bad math.
I mean, that's kind of bad.
Bad math.
Bad math. 1990 would be 27 years from like from now, or not from now, from then.
Yeah, but remember, like, it's going to take them like a year or two to.
Okay, but I'm saying, like, they could set the movie in 2016 if it's 1988. I mean, then it would still be 2015. But it's just bad. You're just bad at math.
Hashtag hexagon.
Well, yeah, I'm a product of Chicago education.
Well, yeah. Chicago public schools.
Yeah.
I just found out what a hexagon was today.
I just learned what a hexagon was earlier today. Listen, I've lived in an alley. I played with cans.
My daddy didn't give me much. I had bottles to, as a fucking money. I turned them in and they gave me change.
Hey, fuck you guys. At least I knew there wasn't a South Detroit.
There is a South Detroit.
Next time you guys go to Detroit, go hang out in South Detroit. Let's see what happens.
Oh my God, Kev, we're going to go through this every fucking time. Listen, just because there's not a place that's necessarily called South Detroit, there's a southern part of Detroit. So suck my left nut, you fucking
not
ginger
right
bitch.
Now, you're sick. You're sick right now.
I am going to. I'm. That's it. With the rest of the this year's Patreon funds, I'm buying plane tickets for Doug and I. We're going to make a fucking flag, and we're going to plant that flag called South Detroit right in the ground.
Right on the fucking river. We're right at the bank of the river. Like, this is where, hey, guess what? This is the southern point of Detroit. South Detroit, suck my left nut, Kev.
And then we're going to
fucking... Is it going to say all that on the flag?
Yeah, it's everything, all on the flag. And then we're going to take a photo of it, get on the plane, and come home.
And I'm going to claim it's photoshopped.
And we're going to bring, we're going to have to bring the flag back. Cause we're probably gonna leave it there. Flag.
That's, yeah, that's littering.
Gone off
the side page for that.
Star Wars and Marvel films are officially moving off Netflix. To update you, a couple weeks ago, we talked a little bit about how Disney was making their own streaming service, and it will be successful because of the kids. And now it'll be more successful because Star Wars and Marvel films will only be available on that streaming service. So I feel like this is only going to hurt the cause for the regular consumer ages 16 to
35
death. Because everyone's going to fucking just download that shit now because they're gonna be like, all right, well, I can't fucking stream it. Fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, there will be a group. Okay, so like 16 to probably 23 to 25. Just as it will probably not, or whatever that 16-24 whatever that age group is, sort of like won't use it. They won't. But then you're gonna get to like 25 and to 25 to 35 will use it because a lot of them will have like kids. And then 35 after won't use it because fuck it.
That's what's gonna say on the quotes.
But then like maybe 65 on may have it also because grandkids. Or some shit, you know what I mean? But like, yeah, no. I'm like, this is stupid. This is stupid. Yeah. I'm gonna go download it. Fuck you, Disney. I'll pirate your shit. I don't give a fuck. I'll say it.
Deb from Brainberry brings up a great point. What is this gonna do for the Marvel shows on Netflix?
There's been no announcement so far. That's still the big question.
Will probably stay on Netflix. Those are Netflix properties.
Yeah, he didn't mention anything in the announcement, but I'm sure that there's still loopholes in there, and they could probably pull those over to the Disney streaming service as well.
Yeah. I don't know. Netflix paid for those.
Well, they paid for the ones that are already in the can. That's not to say that, because each season Netflix renews each season, right? So, if it's only the contract's only good for each season, they could
then
certainly
you're
get
saying
out of it
once they finish the season.
Once
then
they finish the season,
the
they could just be like, "All right, well, season 4 of Daredevil is on Disney."
I feel like that will probably stay on Netflix because they are a little more adult, and I don't think they want that on a service where then you have to make another kid-friendly version of something. You know what I mean?
Possible,
like,
yeah.
Like how Netflix right now has like the kids stuff where you only access to the kids shows and movies, right. Whereas you know, like Disney, like that's kind of their whole thing. So I feel like the Netflix shows that are darker and stuff will definitely stay over there because there's some darker Disney movies. There's some of the Marvel and Star Wars, I guess, can be dark at times. I mean, but like in comparison to Daredevil or Punisher, right?
Oh God,
yeah.
Or even Luke Cage. There's some sexy scenes in Luke Cage.
Yeah, also in Defenders. There's that part where they break that table.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We have a little bit more news on what happened with the director of Episode 9, Colin, is it Trevorrow? He has, obviously everybody knows this, he's been kicked out, kicked to the curb. He directed Jurassic World. And so there's a couple different theories out there. Some people, and so here's some quotes for you as to try to clear it up for you. Vulture has spoken with someone familiar with the production of both The Book of Henry and Jurassic World, and their source provides some insight as to why Colin left Star Wars. During the making of Jurassic World, he focused a great deal on his creative energies on the assertion of his opinion, the executive explains. So it's an executive. Okay. But because he has been personally hired by Spielberg, nobody could say you're fired. Once that film went through the roof and he chose to do Henry Tomorrow was unbearable, he had an egotistical point of view, and he was always asserting that. So, and the other quote is that Kathleen Kennedy is the gatekeeper of Star Wars, and what she got, what she do, her word goes. So fuck you if you're not going to play ball. Essentially.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of seen that again with the Han Solo film, where it's like the two directors were making a kind of slapstick dumb Han Solo movie, and she didn't. That was But you know, I trust her. She's worked with Lucas and Spielberg for years on like Indiana Jones and all of their like those franchises dating that far back, and like Star Wars and all this stuff. She fucking knows these movies, and she knows this all the stuff about them. She's been a part of it for so long. Like, I would rather have her make these tough calls where it's like, yeah, you've been working on the movie for the past year and a half, but I don't like what you're doing. I don't like your attitude. Your attitude is not Star Wars. Your attitude is not Disney. Fuck off. Like, I would rather that. And then, I don't know. You know, I don't... Because we had George Lucas direct three... like, well, four, I guess, of the total movies, but, like, the last three, the prequels, and he had that point of view, that kind of... that kind of directive style where it was like, this is my movie. I'm going to do what I want. And no one would tell him no. And we got three shit fuck movies, man.
Did you ever watch the documentary of that, of the making of those? Or like they show the behind the scenes where he's saying something and everyone's just like, yeah, that sounds great. And then there's that one guy who looks at the camera and is just like, what the fuck?
It's a very like Jim from The Office moment.
Yeah. It was like this guy knows.
Yeah. Now, but yeah, that was his problem, is that like, but you know, because you could say like, you know, George did do a lot of things to change and revolutionize the movie industry. The fact that like the prequels kind of pushed filmmaking to the digital era of how they film stuff with digital cameras as opposed to film. Which some places still obviously do film and film, but a lot of these new blockbuster movies are done digitally, because it's so much easier to edit that shit later. But he was super egotistical about it. You know, it was like, again, like, look at this mega franchise, the biggest movie franchise in the history of film ever. Like, I'm going to do whatever I want, and no one told him no. So I'm glad that Kathleen Kennedy has the balls to say no, even though she'd had the balls to say no to him originally. But now it's her thing. So again, like I'd rather her have like the, I don't know.
I think she's doing a fine job. I think the case in the point here is that you have young directors who had a huge success, and
now,
they
one
thought, yeah, and they thought that they're fucking they were too big for their britches, and they thought they were the hot shit. They could do what they want, and then they ended up being brought back down to earth and saying no, you cannot. And then when you know push come to shove, get the fuck out.
Yeah, well, I'm just curious who they're gonna bring in, because you know they start off the franchise with J.J. Abrams, like you know one of the, like right now one of the biggest directors in Hollywood, but then they move to Ryan Johnson, who again has some other like pretty big movies under his belt, but obviously not as big as J.J. Abrams.
Let's remember
and then
that
Colin Trevorrow, who only had like really Jurassic World. So I'm just curious if they're gonna. There's a part of me, they seem to really get along with Ryan Johnson. They can't stop singing his praises for Episode 9 and what he got. I wonder if they're going to bring him back,
because
I don't see why not.
He said unless no for right now.
He said no.
Yeah, he made an announcement. He was like, "No, I'm not going to do Episode 9."
Yeah, we'll see if that paycheck is big enough. Like, yeah. And also, Like, it may be like, well, I finished this. I have this that I'm going to work on now with the money that I got from doing this. I mean, who knows? But, or, you know, do you bring in another small time director, or do you bring in another Ron Howard? Do you reach out and you hire another like big name director to finish this franchise or this story? I don't know. Cause I like, you know, bringing in Ron Howard was like, in my opinion, a crazy move.
Mm-hmm.
In comparison to who they had before, like, I mean, Ron Howard does comedy with like Arrested Development and stuff, and he does it really well. But the Lego Movie guys and the 21 Jump Street guys, it's just, yeah, it feels like such a flop because a flip flop just because of the other movies that he has that Ron Howard has directed. Just it's so different. Mm-hmm. Backdraft or whatever.
But he's gonna add that drama to it. Like, he's gonna bring back the humanity to it, and he's gonna.
Well, he's a good director.
He's gonna balance it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see who Tom Hanks is gonna be.
Yeah, they'll always find a place for Tom Hanks.
So,
Did either of you guys ever get the movie pass that for $10?
No.
Well, it's still going on. You still have time, and if you do, there is a delay of 2 to 3 weeks due to unprecedented demand.
Well, I mean, that is a good deal.
That shit, yeah. I mean, how do you not know that was going to happen when you fucking charge $9.99? So I guess MasterCard can't produce the cards fast enough.
Oh, like the physical cards?
Yeah, the physical cards. So.
Oh, way to pull a Nintendo there. Oh, we didn't think demand was going to be that high.
We only made 100.
We only thought a couple people would sign up. Oh,
gosh. Great. Now they're going to show up on like eBay for way over price, triple the price.
Uh-huh. So that's your update. So if you want to get one, expect a little bit of a wait. Okay. So this summer, here's a little bit of a rant topic. This summer, all the major studios are blaming Rotten Tomato for a terrible performance, right? Rotten Tomato has given away a lot of terrible scores this summer, and the movie industry seems to think it's their fault that the movie's bombed. Why wouldn't you take responsibility and just say you made a shit movie?
Yeah.
Like, that's how Rotten Tomato works. If you make a good movie, you're going to get a good score.
Yeah.
Like,
back in the day, there was no one there to call them on their shit besides like hoity-toity critics. Now everyone's a critic, which is, you know, it's a gift and a curse in the same time. But the fact that is, there's more people that can weigh in on whether this movie is good or not, and a lot of, I would say, unbiased folks. So,
well, here's the thing, you know what the executives think is a surefire hit, like Transformers: The Last Night and Baywatch.
Those are surefire hits.
Did you know that in 2014 the last Transformers movie was the number one movie of the the
in
number
America
one
or the world? Because
in America,
that shit sells like hotcakes in China.
In America,
hotcakes.
The box office was number one at the box office for that year. I was looking at the number ones and I was very surprised by that. But they tanked, and directors and producers and everybody is saying that Rotten Tomato is the destruction of our business. That's what Brett Ratner said, who is terrible anyways.
Yeah, Brett Ratner could suck a dick. God, why is he still relevant?
I think it's a fact that it's a bad movie, and nobody wants bad movies anymore. I think that you look at good movies, and they're doing amazing. You look at a bad movie, and people know they're fucking bad. Nobody wants to go see that shit and spend their money. You're asking people to spend anywhere from $40 to $80 to go out on a date or with your family to go see a film for an hour and a half to 2 hours. Nobody wants to make that investment anymore if it's going to be a terrible fucking movie. So you can't sit there and blame a website who aggregates scores based on reviews that's the reason why your movie is terrible. Your movie is terrible is because you hired a shit writer to crank out a script in 2 weeks, then you got it produced. You got it made for a little fucking bit of money. You threw $100 million at it, and you're like, this is going to be a billion-dollar movie. And then you let it out into the world, and you expect what? That it's the fucking 90s where no one reads that shit, and they just see the property and go, oh, yeah, let's go fucking see it. This is going to be great. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and Aunt says in the chat, she says, we can watch bad movies on Sci-Fi for free.
That's so true. movies Netflix that are sadly coming true, like Sharknado.
That was crazy. But yeah, just it's the world we live in where people don't want to take responsibility for their actions and everyone wants to. Here's the thing, I have this huge problem, and I've noticed it more when I was like a teenager and like in churches and stuff. There was this attitude of like everything you did is great. Everything is perfect. Like, oh, you're such a good singer. Oh, you're such a good performer, or whatever, whatever. And I'd be like, no, they suck. Like, why are you blowing this person's like ego up when they're not good? And I feel like mm-hmm. that's the same problem we're seeing now. Is like it's that participation trophy syndrome where it's like, oh, you did a good job, Johnny. You showed up, but like, you know, and I'm starting to see that like bleed over into other industries. It's like, I don't know if it's our generation or generations below us where it's just like, stop. Like, thinking that everything you do is gold. Like, I don't care what your fucking mother told you. Your movie was shit. Your writing was shit. Your book was shit. Whatever. Like, yeah. I don't know. People get so offended when it's like, oh, but, oh, it's not me. It's Rotten Tomatoes. They gave me a bad review. And so that drove people away. Like, no, dude, you made a bad movie. Like, Baywatch, get the fuck out of here. That movie looked like shit from the beginning. And, like, Transformers, dude, we're over it. Stop. Stop. And then even then, you've got the new Alien Covenant. It was better than Prometheus, but not by much. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just... people, again, letting people make shit movies and then being like, why? What? It's Alien. How did this fail? Why did this do as well as we wanted it to?
Yep.
Because it's not good. He didn't even make the best Alien movie to begin with. So.
Amen. Amen to that. All right, let's get into some gaming talk. Anybody got any new games? I got a new game this week.
What'd you get?
I got Injustice 2.
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting for that to come out with like a here's all the characters in one version.
Yeah, I know. I jumped on the deal. I really wanted to do that because like they just announced Spawn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be cool.
So I didn't think I was going to need the ultimate package because I was just like, oh, the base players will be fine, right? Mm-hmm. But they have done a fantastic job of pulling you in and wanting you to keep playing. I have not played a fighting game this much since like Mortal Kombat back in the day. You level up your character, you get all mm-hmm. new pieces, you get armor for your arms, legs, and all that shit. Everybody knows this. So that keeps you coming back for more and more. And the story, I know a lot of people said that the story for the second game isn't as strong as the first, but I gotta fucking disagree. I am so invested in this story, and it is so well told and done. I fucking love it. I think it's a fantastic storyline. It's so good.
Cool. Yeah, I want to play that storyline. I'm terrible at the actual fighting aspect of it, but I loved the storyline in the first Injustice. So I really want to wait till the price goes down to pick up the story for this one. So that's cool. I mean, it's good to hear.
Yeah, I picked it up for $20, so I couldn't say no.
Nice. So. Well... this week, before we get into the big one, I got a review copy of Sign Mora EX, or it might be Sin Mora X, but it is a it was previously a Vita game. Mm-hmm. It's a side scroller shmup, like shoot 'em up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing that yesterday, streamed it a little bit. It's really fun. It reminds me of a game back in the day that was on PlayStation 1 called Einhander, which is a side scrolling shooter with some 3D elements to it. Really fun game. It's done in part by Grasshopper Studios, which is a Suda 51 studio. And it was really fun to play. The people who were watching were having a good time with it. But really cool boss battles. Some hell, like bullet hell type game. Just really good game. But yeah, we got a review copy of it, so I thought I would try it out. It was on PS4. It's also on Switch. And it's originally from the Vita. So yeah, definitely worth checking out.
I just checked. You reminded me to check something, and we just got approved for a review copy of Baja: The Edge of Control. We can't say anything about it because it's under embargo. But
yeah,
we can definitely test it out.
Nice.
It's a remake of the original from the 360.
No, it's PlayStation 3.
Yeah, and 360.
Was it 360 as well? Okay, yeah. Cool.
So it's it's pretty cool.
But the other big game that you guys didn't get to play yet because it's not on a PC, but Destiny 2 finally came out, and cool. That's been consuming my week.
Yeah, I know everybody's playing it, but is it worth it? Is it gonna? Are Doug and I, who didn't play the first ones, I played it a little bit, but Doug didn't play the first one. Are we going to be interested in it? Is it going to keep our attention?
It's a lot easier to pick up and play than the first one was. Mm-hmm. And the story, they'll get you up to speed on the story pretty quickly. The best thing about it is the story mode in this is leaps and bounds better than the first one. The first one, the story was non-existent. Let's be real here. There was more cutscenes in like one mission in this one than there was in most of Destiny 1. So there's a lot more story in it. It took me about 8 to 10 hours to complete the story missions. Mm-hmm. And then with side missions and everything like that, there's still a ton of stuff to do. A lot of end game content, which is really what Destiny is made for. It's once you beat the game is really when you start the game, if you know what I mean. Like, 'cause there's so much content that they add week to week mm-hmm. that'll keep you playing. I'm having a blast with it. We beat the game 2 days ago, and I've just been doing all kinds of other missions, trying to get my power level up there, or light level. I think right now max is like 300. I'm at 255, but we're having a blast, and we actually have our own clan on there that Jeremy made back in, like, when we were able to. So 8-Bit Geek does have a clan. You could find it in our Discord chat. You could find a link to it, but it is the 8-Bit Geek clan. And the cool thing is it involves all three consoles, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. And if everyone contributes, everyone gets something out of it. Like, or just, even people who are just in the clan can get like engrams just for other people completing things. So it's pretty awesome. I know Snorkill's been playing it. Windress and Paul have been playing it. I'm trying to think of who else. Like, there's a bunch of people in our Discord that are playing it right now. You guys will be playing it.
But you still haven't answered my original question. Will Doug and I
said yes. I said it's a lot easier to pick up.
Okay,
but the thing is, it's got the Division feel to it, where it's gonna take a couple headshots to get somebody down, but it's a lot better than the first one. You're not gonna spend like 2 hours fighting one boss or anything like that.
That's good. Yeah.
I love it so far.
Speaking of the clan, let's move on to the next story.
Bad segue.
Yeah, no, that's a good segue. Are you kidding me? That's funny.
PewDiePie is back in trouble.
And as usual.
And this time, fuck this guy. God,
too rich to care.
Fuck this guy. So he was playing PUBG. He was streaming it. Did you guys watch his clip? So he said he dropped the N-word.
He dropped it like he said it many times before.
He dropped it like he was talking to a friend and like...
It was a hard R on a bow.
Oh yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, you could argue it if it wasn't a hard R on it. You could be like, oh no, I was just being like, I don't know. There's like that, I was trying to talk like I'm a gangster or some shit, sort of, that sort of bullshit or whatever, like excuse. But it was a hard R.
Yeah. This was very racial. I think that this should hurt his image, and I think it should fucking, I think he should need, go fucking away, man. Go away, piece of shit.
He's not, and the sad part is, I mean, he influences so many younger, he's got such a younger audience that they're gonna pick up on that positively, unfortunately, and they're gonna start that shit, and that's the unfortunate part. It's like, you can be a piece of shit, just don't be a piece of shit when you're such a like a huge influence, especially on younger people who don't know any better.
But it has started to affect him a little bit, at least with game studios. There's been one that's come forward and is like, if no one's going to fucking do something, I will. So the creator of Firewatch has started to do a DMCA takedown of everything that PewDiePie has done with that game. And he says, I'm not going to fucking stand for this. I'm not going to, some of these. I'm sick of this child getting more and more chances to get to make money off of what we make. He's worse than a closet racist. He is a propagator of despicable garbage that does real damage to the culture around the industry. I agree with him. I fucking Colin started watching this guy and I said, absolutely not.
Good.
Because every time he goes on YouTube, he can only watch certain people and they have to have a positive influence. Or he has to be learning something. That's the rules of YouTube. Because of the fact, if not, then out the fucking door. Because of the fact that it's nothing but garbage. So I walked into his room one day. I said, "What are you doing?" And he goes, oh, I'm watching this new guy. I was, everyone else is watching at school. And I said, oh, that's PewDiePie. Turn it off. Like, yeah. there was no ands, ifs, or buts about it. Like, fuck that guy. He's terrible. He's just fucking terrible.
Yeah. In the chat, we'll talk a little bit with the chat is saying also. Bam says, I don't think it should hurt his image so much as it should own it and create a positive change by positively changing. The problem is with that, Bam, is that, like, he has done this before. He's had similar issues with his, like, white supremacy bullshit and him saying the N-word and doing this stuff before, and he clearly hasn't changed anything because he keeps doing it. So at this point, I feel like it's kind of like, dude, okay. I would have agreed with you, like, a year ago when that other shit was happening. But now it's a year later, and he's still doing that. So I don't know.
He waited for the heat to die down, then he fucking heated it up again.
Yeah, and then he did it right. Yeah.
It's not the first time.
Then, like, who's Snorkel to say he's not going to do it again? You know.
Snorkel says that's dumb. The game, it'll open more doors for the studios to take down other Let Play channels. Okay, maybe. Like, right, like, reason why they don't do it right now is because, like, why would you? Because that's getting the popularity of your game out and stuff. Like, the reason why we play PUBG is because streamers play PUBG, and it looks like fun, and it is fun. But, like, we wouldn't know about it otherwise. But if that person is creating content that is, like, racially charged, or, like, is hate speech, or in any sort of way, the creator of that game should have every fucking right to tell you not to post that shit. Mm-hmm. I'm like, do not associate me, my game, my creation with this bullshit that you're spouting. Now, I'm not saying necessarily in his case that, like, he's on there, like, being a full, you know, like, in a white hood and stuff, but I'm saying, like, if that's how
that's next.
Yeah, like, if that were to happen, or if there was someone out there who was just being just a racist piece of shit or whatever, then no, I feel like any game studio should have the ability to put that action against that channel and have them stop using their stuff. I mean, anyone else can do it.
Yeah, and I mean, there's no difference between that, what Doug is saying, as what advertisers do. Advertisers will not associate themselves with anything that's going to hurt their image or brand. So it's no different than any game studio not wanting that kind of publicity for them. And so is this going to affect him? No, he's got fuck you money. So it doesn't matter. Like, he could be taken off the internet today and he's fine for the rest of his life. But I do think that more companies need to step up and say, no, here's the fucking line and you crossed it and we need to teach you a fucking lesson and you don't control us. So
Ben says it's a breach of his contract for YouTube also, isn't it? Depends on where he was streaming. If he was over on Twitch, then it wasn't on YouTube, and YouTube can't do anything about it. If he didn't, if he didn't put the clip on YouTube, then that's out of their hands. They can probably reprimand him, yes, but at the same time, if there's some contract issue and it wasn't on their channel, if he didn't stream to YouTube, then I don't know if they can do anything about it. If he did it on there, then again, he could just be like, well, it was just a slip of the tongue.
Yeah, right.
I didn't mean to say it with such passion.
Yeah, with that fucking hard R.
Yeah. Clear as day. All right, moving on. We talked a little bit about Destiny 2, Kevin did. Mm-hmm. It has already reached 1.2 million concurrent players, which is, in a weekend, that shit has to be a fucking record, because that, it took, on at least on PC, it took Player Unknown 2-3 months to get a million? Four mm-hmm. months? Five? Something like that? How long has that game been out?
Yeah, but that was kind of a word-of-mouth game.
I know, but, like, this is, like, to have concurrent, like, your sales have to be, your sale, like, in order to get a 1 million concurrent, the Battlegrounds had 10 million copies sold.
Concurrent?
Concurrent.
Okay. I was wondering what you were saying.
Sorry. And so 10 million copies sold of that game. So that just goes to show you, like, it's possible that Destiny 2 has hit those numbers already in a weekend.
Right.
Which would be insane. So I can't wait to see what that's like. Here's some more. Okay. See, this is, I feel this is how you deal with race in a video game, okay? South Park has announced that the game becomes harder when you play the black character.
Well, but when you choose the level of how hard the game is, yeah, it makes your skin darker.
It changes your skin color depending on how far you slide the difficulty scale.
Right. Which is funny. Now, apparently, I think they said, like, the combat is not necessarily harder and stuff. It's just, like, other things are.
Yeah, like, don't you don't get as much money. And people treat you differently.
Yeah, which we'll find out when the game comes out. But, yeah, I mean, once again, it's South Park. You come to expect it.
Yeah, it's in their line of humor. But also the thing that, like, makes it funny, like, I mean, is it offensive? Sort of. But it's...
It's also talking
it's
about...
It's also, like, real life.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's calling out the real
issue. Yeah, it's calling
issue.
Out what the actual issue is. And so what's funny is that you see these people, like... I was seeing someone on Reddit today where it was just like, if you're offended by the South Park game, you are most likely the problem. And it was all these white people that were like, I'm so sick of this saying that white people have it easy. My life is so hard. Mm-hmm. And it's like... No, you might have. I mean, yes, you may be having personal struggles that are difficult. I get that, but I swear, you're
the overlying.
Everything in your life has been significantly easier than your black neighbor. I promise you. So that's true for all of us. Like,
mm-hmm.
So,
I agree.
I don't know. So yeah, it was just all these white people just getting all bitchy about it. Just like, this is so racist. I'm so offended. My life is hard too.
I'm about to trigger Doug.
Oh, here we go.
So the Nintendo Switch
is going to have
supply issues this holiday season.
What?
Up, I better get my Switch now.
Hold on. Here's the quote. Nintendo boss says Switch supply issues are complicated because they deal with multiple components.
What? What?
That was nothing answer. Man.
He says, are we going to have enough this holiday season? That's what our focus is. Get the fuck out. It's been a year.
When did it come out? Because you've had yours. You had it before.
March, right?
Yeah, okay, March. So it will be a year. Because, yeah, we had them in time for Alamo City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get the...
So,
how?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How?
Because they're spending all their production on a Super Nintendo virtual console.
There's no tech in here any different than what's in the goddamn iPad.
Yeah. No, this is not we don't have enough. This is them drawing and like pulling in the numbers to be the number one selling console of the holiday season right now, 3 months in advance.
I wouldn't say the number one. I would say the hardest to find.
Well, that's what I mean. Like the one, the they're going to be sold out. You couldn't find one of ours. Everyone wanted our console so badly, you couldn't find it anywhere because everyone wanted it. When it's no, you fools are deliberately underproducing your consoles to try to make it look like you're hot shit.
Yeah. Agreed.
Like, at what point do these idiots realize that we know what they're doing? Like,
I've been calling it out for years.
Well, they'll never know. No.
Yeah.
We get it. You're full of shit. That's why you can go fuck yourself, Nintendo. And I've been
I thought you were aiming that at me. I was like, damn, Doug.
But it's going to be sold out.
Well, okay, Jeremy, as a Switch owner, mm-hmm. what do you think is... Like, I mean, this is being real. This is not ripping on Nintendo.
No, it's fine. Yeah, no. I have an open mind about it.
Like I said, up until the Switch, I've owned every Nintendo system. I've always backed that up. Mm-hmm. I was just not going to fall for the one game system this time, and now I am eventually. But what do you think is a rare component on that? To where do you think that would be holding up
Nothing.
The warehouse?
Nothing. There's not a component on that. There's not a component in the system that is a the only thing that's proprietary is the actual plug. That goes into that's the HDMI converter. That's it.
Okay, well that's
converter.
On...
What is it, like a mini HDMI or no, what?
It's so that way you can't hack it and build your own dock. And so that's the only proprietary. Anything else? All the components in that are just NVIDIA chips. And,
okay, because I've read that it uses a USB-C to charge.
Yeah, but that's everywhere. That's on every
Android
phone.
Yeah, that's
Android
what I'm saying.
Like
now. I'm saying, it's surprising because normally they have their own proprietary chargers.
There's been teardowns of the controllers. Those are all built with really cheap Bluetooth what are they called, antennas. It's just plastic, so that's all, you can knock that out. The screens are everywhere. Like that's not a special screen. It's not OLED. It's nothing like that. So There's not one thing. The technology in this box is probably anywhere from 3 to 5 years old, and I don't see how it's a component issue. In the chat, somebody says, "What do you think? How much of this is iPhone?" You know, it's not. Like, Foxconn is a huge company. They build products for everybody. This mm-hmm. this is just a matter of supply chain. They like Doug said, they're just not producing a lot of them, because what they want to do is they want to build up a whole POC
stockpile.
They want to push it out on one certain date. Once they all sell out, and then they can say, look how many millions we sold, and we're all sold out. And that's all marketing. So
they've been doing it constantly with this, with the NES, the mini NES, the super NES, mm-hmm. the one that's coming out, the SNES, like that. And then with this, like, since these consoles have been coming out, that's just like, oh, we didn't know how popular they were going
to
be.
Who are we kidding? The case, it went all the way back to the Wii.
Yeah. Well, the case in point in this as well is you caught them in a lie already, because they said mm-hmm. that they stopped producing the original NES mini because the components were hard to find. That's what their excuse was. But then 2 months later, they announced the SNES mini.
Different components, completely different.
So it's just a bad look, but it's not a headline, you know, like we're covering it, but nobody's asking, you know, why does Nintendo still do this? And that's why they still get away with it, because nobody.
Yeah, I think it's the nostalgia factor of Nintendo. I mm-hmm. think that people are still just like on their knees for Nintendo, and they can't see like the shit that they're doing.
And let's not,
like, because they just bow down to the god that is Nintendo.
Let's not forget that, I mean, Nintendo still makes a hell of a fucking game. Like, it's tough.
I guess.
They do. It's just few and far between, once again. I mean, like I said, I'm planning on getting a Switch. I've got Zelda. That's the definite buy. That's the reason I want to play this whole thing in the first place. But after Zelda, I mean, I'm thinking Splatoon. Mm-hmm. But I'm not really the next game I really want to buy is either going to be Mario Odyssey, or and the No More Heroes game. Other than that, like, there's no other killer apps that are really drawing me to it. And especially coming this close into the holidays, I don't think there's anything, me personally, that I'm sold on. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, Splatoon seems okay. That Rabbids game seems pretty cool, but I mean, nothing that I'm like, you know, like, well, I said, I don't feel like. Like how Zelda makes me feel. Like, I want to play Zelda, but I don't want to really play the
others. New Mario looks fun too, but the problem is that, like, I still don't feel like that's enough games. I mean, the reason why we build these computers that do all this awesome gaming is because we know that, like, we'll easily buy like 20 plus titles a year easily.
Right.
We'll be able to
justify our purchase. Right.
Yeah. Now. And, like, you know, at my PlayStation, I only have a handful of games for, but again, they're the exclusives, but they're amazing. Like, you cannot compare Zelda to Uncharted or The Last of Us.
Apples and oranges.
You can't. Even then, like, if you're like, I'm gonna sit down and play a video game and I want to be entertained for a while and I want to be told a good story, like with good gameplay. Like, if that's, I mean, because that's the thing with like Uncharted. Like, it's a pretty simple game. Mm-hmm. Just like Mario is a pretty simple game. Right. And yeah, like, I mean, but one is they are different game types. But like, that's the thing, is like, you can't like.
What do you think, Jared, you own a Switch and you've played Zelda, obviously. What would you compare it to, comparing it to another AAA title that's from another system?
I think on its own merits, it stands as one of the best games of the year. But it's not the same. It's just not the same. Like,
that's what I'm thinking.
It's an experience that I think everybody should have with the Zelda game, because it's just phenomenal. But at the same time, you look at something that's story-driven from Sony, and that's phenomenal as well. And I think that they can both stand on their own without being compared.
What can you compare? What can you compare Zelda to as far as like the genre? So you're thinking open world. Would you compare it to something like The Witcher or, say, Skyrim? What would you say that's
it's more
better than
it
those?
Has more in common with Skyrim than The Witcher? I think.
How is that? I'm putting you on the spot. Sorry.
Because once again, I think
you're just the only owner,
I think Witcher. I think The Witcher is more story driven, and I think that has as to where Zelda was more like, you know, they put you in a sandbox and you figure it out. And that's kind of like Skyrim as well. Obviously, Skyrim had more to do in it, but so you could still soak 100 hours into each one, and it'd be fine. Okay. So I think that's what I would compare it to mostly. But like I said, it's difficult because it stands on its own as kind of, I don't know, it's really strange because it has a ton of nostalgia, but it also does the same things that other games have done, but it feels fresh and new.
Okay.
I guess that's how I would say it. But other than that game, really tough to say to go buy one, because it's got to, it really annoys me that it's got the Nintendo tax on it, so an extra $10 for these indie games, and the indie games, I'm like, I can pick it up for $3 on Steam, as to where it's a full purchase on Nintendo Switch, and I'd rather just sit in my office chair and play it.
Right.
So there's that.
I don't know. The fact that you just have like the one. I mean, there will be more titles coming, but this comparison, the fact that what I'm trying to say is just you have Zelda, which is, you know, it looks fun. I've watched you play it, Jer. I've watched Ed play it, but he played it on the Wii U. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't have to go buy the new console.
And they're identical. There's nothing different about those two versions.
I heard
there was a better frame rate on the Switch, but that's all I heard.
It's not by much. You're not going to notice it.
Okay. Yeah, and then so that doesn't seem like enough of a reason to go, you know,
buy
the console.
Because the games that they're announcing for it, like just right now, they've announced another, this brings me to the next story. They've announced L.A. Noire coming to the Switch in November. And
is it new? I mean, I realize it's VR, like, so it's first person, but is it? It's got to be the same game, yeah.
It's the same game. It's just
It says the Switch version of the title is complete. Original game comes with all the downloadable content. Includes enhanced content to include a Joy-Con mode with gyroscope, gesture-based controls, HD rumble, and a new wide over-the-shoulder camera angles.
But the problem
and contextual touchscreen.
The problem with that is, so I have 2 points on that, which I hate Rockstar for. The first one is to go along with the Switch, which is this is what we're getting with the Switch is they're announcing all these old titles and they're bringing them back. Like, they just announced and released Meat Boy Meat Boy is a fantastic game. It's fucking 8 years old.
It's actually a brand new game, though.
No, it's not.
No, it is a brand new game. Have you seen the trailer for it? By the way, Wiggly's in that trailer. It's adorable. But it's about the son of Meat Boy.
Actually him or just his voice?
His voice.
Okay.
Well, he does the narration of the whole trailer.
I am aware of what he does for the game.
Well, no, I'm saying in this trailer he does the narration of the trailer. Yeah. But yeah, it's a brand new game.
I'm looking. So, I gotta look this up because I don't.
Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, you can't really shit on Nintendo for that one per se because it's coming out for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. So I mean, it's not like an HTC Vive. So I wouldn't just put that one on the Switch. It's not their fault they're getting it.
Yeah, but okay.
It is a step in the right direction for Rockstar working with Nintendo, though. I mean, you got to give that credit.
But at the same time, did you guys play L.A. Noire? Am I the only one who played it? Did you guys play it?
I played it.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay.
There was some naked bodies up in that game. You're going to tell me you're going to put that, like, VR with a kid's console?
Bayonetta 1 and Bayonetta 2 were on and Nintendo, even though there wasn't nudity. But I'm trying to think of a Nintendo
straight
game with
up naked people. Now they were dead.
Yeah.
Hey, but okay. Here's the other point. Why the fuck are they doing this? Why are they bringing this back and not just fucking releasing Red Dead Redemption on the current consoles?
Because Rockstar hates different, us all.
And also, this is a different team.
Fuck them.
L.A. Noire was done.
Still around.
Noire was done by Rockstar.
Team Bondi.
Australia, I think.
Otherwise known as Team Bondi.
And?
Well, okay, and Red Dead is by Montreal?
So they could
Red Dead was just fucking hired somebody to update it. Actual studio, like Rockstar.
Yeah, so it's a different team, Jer.
You can hire anybody to fucking update it for the systems. You're not creating a brand new game.
Listen, who fucking knows who they hired to make this? I'm just saying that Red Dead has several studios across the world that work on specific games. So you're bitching about this not being Red Dead or why Red Dead's not done. This is probably a fucking different studio like it was to begin with.
But it's a, okay, but you're bringing up a point that doesn't matter. The game is already fucking done. All they have to do is update it for the consoles, and then you're good to go. Like, yeah, you're not
just hired someone to just do something really easy. Like, I don't understand why you're bitching about Red Dead.
Because
why
the fact that that would be just as easy.
No, it wouldn't. That's a Red.
That's
wait,
a
Red Dead
tough fucking game.
Are you talking about Red Dead 1?
Yes.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about Red Dead 2. That's my bad.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was like, what are you talking? That's a brand new fucking game.
No, Red Dead 1.
I'm talking about Red Dead 1.
I bet. That's my bad.
There's got to be some politics playing behind that because that's the only Rockstar game that hasn't been released. Besides The Warriors, that's the only other one I could think of that hasn't been released on PC.
What about the Manhunt? Was that
Manhunt's on PC? The first one is. Yeah. Wow. The second one, I don't know what they did, but the second one was they did that weird, that was the main censored one. So you really couldn't find an uncensored version of Manhunt 2.
Mm.
Yeah, that was the game where they wanted to slap an adults only rating on it. So the way Rockstar worked around it to get the M rating was during the kill scenes, they would like it, since it was like a VHS style game, they would like blur the images kind of. So,
you know what I heard? There's a big rumor that they're working on Midnight.
Midnight Club.
Midnight Club.
And those are on PC.
Speaking of release dates, our last story brings us.
Bully 2. Sorry. Another Rockstar game. I wish they'd make another one for.
Bully 2 is probably going to be made.
Hopefully.
Someday.
Yeah.
We got a release date for Pinball FX3. If you've made it this far, in the show, just
congratulations.
Know. Congrats. It's a long one. But also, this will be a game that's in heavy rotation with the 8-Bit Geek. We will have tournaments set up. We will be doing multiplayer. We'll have leaderboards. Just be there with us. It's a free-to-play title. You get probably two or three tables with it. You're going to have to download it if you're going to want to play with us because we're going to be doing some fun shit with it. Doug, Kevin, and I have like almost all the boards for Pinball FX2. They're going to transfer over to the third one. And we're gonna have a lot of ton of fun. It's gonna be something to get involved with for the 8-Bit Geek. So make sure you download it when it comes out. It is coming out September 26th on the PS4, Xbox One, and PC. I don't know yet if there is cross-platform leaderboards yet, but hopefully there is.
They did say.
Hopefully there is. We'll be playing it on the PC most likely.
If we do like a tournament, I want to be an announcer. I want to be a spectator. Well, a spectator announcer person. Oh, people social be like, look at him. He's hit. Oh yeah, hit those balls.
You gotta
hit that ball. Yeah, slap that ball. Mm-hmm. Yeah, slap. Oh, look at it. Look at it. There weird. goes. Tilt.
I don't want to play anymore. No, I'm just kidding. I want to beat every score Jer puts up.
Tilt and slap.
We're not even playing pinball anymore.
Is that a technical term?
Tilt the machine, you slap the ball.
Anyways, that's our show, everybody. I hope that you enjoyed it. Thanks for sticking around. Until next week, I'm Jeremy.
We're going to do a Q&A, right?
Yeah, we'll do a Q&A.
Okay, just for the people that are here. We'll stick around. I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Until next week, love, hugs, and all that bullshit.